Hey, everyone. So I need to issue a correction. At the start of last week's episode, I read an excerpt from what purported to be a news article put out by CNBC. As it turns out, while the screenshot containing that text was posted over a link to a genuine article, the text that I read did not appear anywhere within it. I got by someone making a joke on the internet.
And I got by trusting in my friend.
So
to deliver me real news that really happened. But here's what happened over the weekend. I was editing the episode and I was like, they didn't release a transcript of a conversation from the Secret Service. They didn't do that. I was like, there's no way they did that.
So I messaged him
and I was like, do you have a source for this? And he did not.
So that was fake.
That was fake. But hey.
But you know, doesn't the fact that we believed it could be true say something about Magic the Gathering?
I was literally about to say Magic the Gathering, still evil. Like, I not changed my opinion on that devilry in witchcraft. But that is not what this episode is about. And we're going to get started with said. We give our full opinions on the end of Final Fantasy XIV Dawn Trail. Here are some of your opinions and chart a course for the month of August on Storm Buds.
Buds, storm of buds, and we're going to tell you about how we saved the world.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Storm Buds, the Final Fantasy XIV recap show. Just kidding. This is our last episode doing this. This is the video game variety show with a slight Final Fantasy XIV bias for now.
There'll be patch content at some point.
Possibly. I am your surprise presidential candidate of light, Jerome Barbatsis. Joined with me is our co-onion eater of light, Alexander Hambrock. Say hello.
I can neither confirm or deny that I've ever fucked a couch.
Well, there's no way we could have prevented that from happening. Anyway, the summary of this episode is as follows. We are going to give our full opinions on the end of Dawn Trail, review our predictions from the beginning, our list of predictions, and see who won. And we will also be doing our Charlian Forum, where we had posted in our Discord, link in the description in the episode. And we will also be charting a course, planning for the month of August, and it's a month. we have a theme planned.
We have a
we don't know how it's gonna land. But that's kind of my favorite things to do, is just try and be weird with it.
We came up with a very safe theme, I think. This was very safe. No, I'm saying July was very safe.
Oh, July was very safe? Yeah, sure. Why not? Anyway, this episode, right now, we're going to not waste any more time because we have four things to do when we normally have two.
Okay.
So we left off at the end of chapter 5 of Dawn Trail, where we just got a tour of Solution 9 and we met Sphene and we kind of didn't like her that much. We have some Cliff's Notes to cover. So right afterwards, we head back to, because Sphene kind of hints, points us back towards the Oblivion hideout, and we learn about the Beast Soul stuff. Right?
Yeah, we learn about Beast Soul stuff, and then we also learn about... Okay.
And we also learn about Sphene's true nature.
Yes, Sphene's true nature. We learn about a bunch of stuff here. But I got a bunch of structural thoughts about this entire expansion.
Cool. Can those wait?
Yes, they can wait. Okay. We'll go over this at the end.
Let's talk about certain events, what we liked, didn't like about them, and then we'll do the structure at the end.
The other thing here is we introduce an element that I am not sure this story needed, which is Zeraljah's son.
Oh my god, yeah. Okay, so there's a lot that happens here. We learn that people are using beast souls by this one woman who's like a hunter, and then she goes out and consumes some beast souls to protect the village, which isn't a sequence. We tour the other side of Heritage Found shortly after this as well, and we see some ruins of Alexandria, and we meet Otis, knight.
Otis is like this robot knight who kind of has like the memories of the previous captain of the guard from hundreds of years ago stored in him, and he has kind of like adopted Zeraljah's infant, not infant son, like
toddler eight, son.
Toddler son. He's
elementary
like,
school level son.
Yeah, he's like eight.
So yeah, the son is, it's pretty obviously Zeraljah's son because of the scales, whatever, sure.
Yeah,
well, convenient. I think I'm with you on the, this did not need to happen. We could have just gone out and explored the ruins of Alexandria on our own, because those looked really cool.
Well, and also because at this point...
And we didn't need the stealth sequence.
At this point, we then go on a quest to hunt down cooking ingredients so that we can, like, make a meal for Otis and what's the kid's name? Is Galuljaw, named after his grandfather.
Yeah, sure.
And it's like...
Oh, you know why they needed it, though? Because they needed... We needed, like, a convenient king... to take over in case
this game
of Sphene.
It's a fucking monarchist.
It's
got to have a king. It's like, oh, could
the
we
technology
have, like,
is
what
of
if
the king.
Afterwards people voted on things? No, need to add a new king at the top.
Yeah, whatever.
But like, it's so stop and start. It's just like this whole time. It's just like every time the story starts building any kind of momentum anywhere, it like lurches to a stop so it can like throw us off in some different direction.
Is this also from Otis? Not from, is this, yeah, is it from Otis that we learn Sphene is endless?
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So Sphene is a robot. I mean, yeah, she's a robot, kind of. She's a program.
Program's the right way to put it. She keeps projecting herself over robot bodies, which is how she gets around. But like, she exists as a piece of software.
Basically, as a piece of soul-driven software that is technology created by a mysterious organization known as Preservation. They wanted to preserve this nation, and they created a figurehead in Sphene, I think is an interesting premise. Let's see if they deliver on that. Once we head back to town with Galuljaw in tow, what happens then?
Well, Sphene takes the fact that we've learned everything about how her world works completely in stride, and then she's like, could you all become Alexandrian citizens? And Luke Lamotte is like,
no.
What you ask of us keeps changing every 5 minutes.
Yeah, she's
and
weird.
Finally, at this point, Sphene is like, I wish we'd been born on the same side, and runs off. And we're like, oh, okay, maybe she actually is an antagonist.
Yeah. She's just been kind of sketchy this whole time, and I don't know how I feel about her yet. I was interested at this point because I didn't know what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But what does happen is soon that Zeraljaw starts to prepare to march outward again against Huliolal. There's a scene we get where Sphene and Zeraljaw are about to leave, and Wuklamat confronts. We chase after him, confronting Zeraljaw. Wuklamat destroys his soul thing.
Regulator, yep.
And then he takes the life and the soul regulator of an Alexandrian citizen. And Sphene's like, no, you said you wouldn't. It's like, yeah Sphene, the leopard ate your face.
Yeah, it turns
out, no.
The bargain here is that Sphene wants to harvest all life outside the dome because she needs it to continue. Like, turns out that their whole soul economy thing they have going on,
it's
like,
not free.
It's deflationary. Like, they're running out of souls. They need more of them.
Yeah, and she is this software, I suppose, programmed to maintain everything at any cost, which is unfortunate. And Wuklamat is resolved to try and reach some sort of humanity within her to see if their nations can live peacefully together with Sphene.
Yeah, Wuklamat keeps saying this thing where she's like, Sphene can't be all bad because she clearly loves her people. And I'm just like... Wuklamat, yes, she loves her people. How does she seem to feel about
the
other
rest
people?
Of the people?
Like, I'm not going to call Sphene a fascist because I don't think she quite
She's
is.
Not.
But she is like a nationalist who wants to do an extractive colonization project on the rest of the world.
Yeah, she is. I mean, she does have nationalism and some authoritarianism issues as well. So maybe she's pretty close. So that conflict, the leopards are eating her face now with Zeraljaw, whose motivations are still unclear to us at this point. But we chased after him to Orogenix.
At some point, all the soldiers head out in their sick quadcopter bikes in the air.
Oh,
and
yeah.
There's a bunch of cool fight scenes.
But because we've been shoring up our defenses in Tuliolal, their attackers repelled. And then we chase after him to Orogenix.
This is where we get to see like Thancred doing some cool fighting, and like I think Kona doing
rifle,
some cool
though.
Fighting. Yeah, no cyber rifle.
Unfortunate.
I mean, it's the magic versus technology thing again.
But cool, Jaja also comes back a little bit with some redemption, some light redemption. Let's be careful here.
It being a big showcase magic versus technology fight would be cool if we didn't spend like 4 expansions doing the same thing with the
Guardians. Literally the same thing. Like, man, this was done in Stormblood, but weirdly like cooler because it was the first time it was happening when the black mages were putting the fireballs at the door and then they're like putting ice on it to weaken the structure.
Yeah, and then Vritra shows up, but he doesn't say anything. He's just there in the sky as like an ally.
Yeah, it was like, oh, Vritra's they off screen made a cool diplomatic pact with Ra'zat Han. Honestly, that would have been cool to see.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I would have liked to have seen that coming. Oh, well, good job, Astinian. Man.
Anyway, yes. Yeah, so what happens here is this is the point at which Zeral Jaw, one, picks up his own kid by the throat and, like...
This was so funny. I laughed so hard. I laughed so hard when we get to the top of Orogenix, which is a good dungeon, by the way.
Yeah.
Orogenix, good dungeon. Again, those dungeons play, like, those set pieces and that kind of... directional movement once the combat gets going. It's a real high point of the expansion.
It's a good dungeon,
and it's a good trial after this. But yes, or when he picks up the kid, it's so funny to me.
There's a fight in here where we fight Otis, and Otis keeps saying, "'Tis but a flesh wound." I'm like, what is this, 2005 Monty Python? What are we doing?
Yeah, okay. It was a little dated of a reference in a scene, but we had a moment where the Otis robot was able to protect Sphene one last time before giving out completely. Which is interesting. Sure. We also learned that Otis has like a prototype Endless, basically.
Yeah, so
and
he has
that's
his
where
memories.
We also learn from. He has his memories, but he's not able to leave a vessel like an Endless is. So this one's actually dead. So which is so, yeah. a little sad. But
make
your
way to
nice.
The top, go to the dungeon. Then we have the, like you said, like the trial against Zeral Jaw himself.
Yes.
Also a very cool fight
because he is now starting to destroy Alexandrians. Because he's mad?
He's guzzling souls.
Souls.
What we
oh,
see
for
on
power.
So two things here. It's very cool going up the Orogenix dungeon, seeing the sheer scale of the soul harvesting
operation. And the operation, yeah. And there's the tubes. There's like the one yellow liquid tube and the one light liquid tube. And I was like, they could have picked different colors for soul and memories.
Yeah.
They couldn't have done the piss and cum pipeline.
Yeah, well.
I didn't like that.
The other problem it really highlights, and I guess I'll talk about it more later, but I'm going to bring it up here again. It's like, man, Solution 9 is so empty. Like, Ra'zat Han feels like a city with lots of people living in it. This is this massive operation that looks like it processes hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. And Solution 9 has 12 people living in it.
Yeah, I think I understand what you're saying there. The Zeral Jaw trial is really cool as well. I like the mirrored patterns on the separate platforms.
Yes.
Music's good. I like that when he went into his other form, like a second like severed head neck popped up next to him as if to say that there is no reason. Because he's like the head of results.
He's
like
he's like
weird
the only,
blessed
like
sibling
the,
that's not blessed.
Only the action head, yeah.
Which is like, that kind of conveys sort of what the struggle he was with because he's not a blessed sibling, but he's supposed to feel this sort of blessed thing. I kind of wish we had more time to dive into that with Zeral Jaw as opposed to be like, because like we only get a hint about like what we realize that like he just had no purpose in life or he felt like he didn't know what it was, so he just wanted to go to war, I suppose. I am missing some details here.
We have so much time in this expansion. That's the problem. The problem is this expansion is full of lots of time wasting and then glossing right over the interesting bits.
Yeah, that's largely true. We finally take care of this guy. Zeral Jaw is out of the picture, but Sphene is now fully in control of her own kingdom and is not willing to listen to us. So she retreats. She just retreats somewhere.
Yep, she goes somewhere.
She heads back to where the Endless are, basically. And now is when it's convenient that Kakihua, gotta say her name right, Kakihua, because we're going to be saying it a lot, is an Endless herself. And she informs us that basically where the Endless are stored is the Golden City.
Yes.
And we now with Zeral Jaw dead, we have the key and the authority to enter the Golden City, because we have Galulajaw's authority, because the old Golden City only opens for the King of Alexandria, which begs the question, why did Galulajaw send us to find it if he can't open it without the King of Alexandria?
Which also begs the question, how does know who the king is? It passes.
That one, I can forgive that. It's just like whatever genetic technology they have, souls, memory.
Oh, sure.
Reader identifiers. I'm sure.
I guess
they can literally read your soul. But the final zone is living memory. This is the we get our souls our body is sort of transported in there by way of the Golden City, and we are greeted with what looks to be sort of an amusement parky kind of resort location that is very, with a lot of tall apartment buildings, and a giant, city that is lit up with this golden light, and a big terminal with a woman in the middle.
Yes. Well, okay. There's one thing here that even before we go in that bugs me, which is what's Aaronville's mom's name again?
Huh?
What's Aaronville's mom's
name? Kakiwa.
Kakiwa.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. It's like it's played as a
my
big
mother, as you said.
It's played as a big reveal that she's been in Endless this whole time puppeting the robot, and everyone acts shocked. And I'm just like, this is the problem with like when everyone playing the game is six steps ahead of the narrative. Like, yeah, no shit. From like the first cutscene she was in, I was like, oh, so she's like dead and her memories are in the cloud and she's puppeting the robot from up there.
Yeah.
Like, it's so obvious. And now, 10 hours later, we're playing that like a big reveal. It just, it felt aggravating.
Yeah. It's that's fine.
Sorry, I'm getting heated.
I think Aaronville picked up on it a while ago as well, though.
Yes.
He just didn't want to say anything. So that I understood, and that I think that moment where he was like, yeah, I know. And it's been obvious that something, ever since we got to Heritage Found, he's been really troubled because his hometown was destroyed and his family was murdered.
Mm-hmm.
Her family died of old age in the span of an instant. That'd be weird. That'd be hard to process.
That would be difficult.
I'm fine with him. Throughout this whole zone, he is a total moody boy, and I'm fine with him having that time because nobody else takes the time to process any sort of emotions.
Oh, Aaronville's great. Aaronville's in nothing.
I think so. We then are now in a final zone and in a final and kind of similar to Oz's Law fashion. There's these four quadrants.
Yep,
that we kind of have to just trudge through
the four neighborhoods every city needs: the theme park,
mm-hmm.
the gardens,
yeah,
the Venice district, and the volcano.
Yeah, that's perfect. So this is. Living Memory is such a tribute to the original, like Final Fantasy IX's Alexandria in terms of architecture and these references. I don't know. I think Alexandria is stationed on a mountain, so I'm guessing they just kind of made it a volcano in real life. So that's kind of an allusion that I think this whole structure is sort of alluding to all of Alexandria in Final Fantasy IX, though there wasn't an active volcano so much. Anyway... that's where I think that decision is coming from, and it's supposed to be just sort of a remembrance of the areas around the big city like that. But it is very odd coming into it without that context. But there are a lot of cute little Easter eggs. There's a ticketing booth that looks just like the ticketing booth that Vivi gets his fake ticket at. There are these jumping rope girls where there's this jumping like in the same spot relative to the ticketing booth where like. You are able to, if you can jump 100 times, you get like a really good reward, like a gem or something in the beginning of Final Fantasy IX. And like the beginning of the game too, Vivi tries to sneak in through the canal district, like running on rooftops and stuff to get into the theater, which is where the volcano is, by the way. The volcano is the theater. It's really the theater and then like the museum. Anyway, summarizing up the four quadrants here, we get a moment where we're reunited with the soul of Namika, where she's confused and is looking for Wuklamut in perpetuity, which is not how I thought Endless worked.
No, it's...
Like, why would she be in that state as opposed to a state where she remembers Wuklamut and is happy?
It's not super clear how the whole memory transcription reinstantiation thing
It's works. Not super clear at all. No, I would just think that she would have seen Wuklamut and been like, holy shit, it's Wuklamut. Oh my god, are you dead? Like, we could have just skipped that whole thing where Wuklamut didn't have to be like, it's me, you remember? Like, we could have saved some time there. Anyway, that was still a nice scene where we finally get the closure between Wuklamut and Namika. And we also get a nice gondola ride with
Kakwika, who is here in
Kakiwa, with Rahatia.
Rahatia, you're right. Yes.
Yeah, that was a really nice moment. We got a good, probably the best monologue in the expansion out of Jonathan Bailey. Once again, terrific voice actor, terrific actor, incredibly handsome.
He seems kind of like torn about like, should this technology exist or shouldn't it, right?
Yeah,
like,
I think if it didn't have the cost of the entire universe,
yeah,
it would probably be pretty cool technology. But unfortunately, technology and progress often has a very steep price, and that's, I think, one of the major themes of this game that I like. I think that's really cool, like that they don't just include technology for the sake of it being cool. They understand that technology has to be made and exist in a context and is built on the backs of something. It's like it costs something to make something cool and fancy, like a spaceship or whatever.
Yeah, like that is a bit of expansion that works the best for sure. Like when it is successfully being about sort of like, you know, that and almost sort of like the parasitism that comes with being unable to let go.
Yeah.
Right.
And like why
the attempt to use technology to preserve everything in the amber.
But if this is heaven, why are there scary water monkeys?
Yeah.
who's are those just glitches in the program? Maybe we'll say that we put our hands up off the terminal and we get a warning before we do that for the water terminal that the zone will be that this is the last time you're going to see this, and so if you want to do anything in the cool canal city, you better go and do it before you turn this terminal off. And the game makes the decision to turn the lights out on this whole district permanently.
Yep.
After you do it, which I think is a good decision.
Mm-hmm. It makes things feel like things are actually happening.
Yes. You can just go into New Game Plus once you're in Living Memory if you really want to see it. But I still think it's very cool. I'm interested to see what they do, if anything, with Living Memory after the fact.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I like about this here is that we do meet with Kakuya in the flesh, effectively. Like, she's here, not as her robot self, but as her actual bodied self. And she and Aaronville are going to get a lot of good stuff. But right at the top, and this is the bit where I was like, oh, I really like her, because she just meets with us and is immediately like, yeah, so you need to kill Sphene, and you shouldn't feel bad about it, and you need to kill all of us also because we are not alive. And I was like, okay, someone understands what needs to be done.
Yeah, that's a tough pill to swallow for only Aaronville, which I thought was weird. I thought more people would struggle with this, but they didn't. I mean, we didn't. We were just sitting there nodding along. Everyone else is okay.
I didn't struggle with this at all.
No, I was like, yeah, we should do this. Like, we have a mission to accomplish. We went to... Well, maybe I should. I don't know. It was kind of... I was a little torn.
I mean, and there's all kinds of bits about this that, like, I can't tell if they're meant to feel vaguely dystopian or not. They say that, like, the terminals monitor people's memories and deliberately orchestrate intimate moments with loved ones.
Yeah,
and, like, that feels invasive to me.
Yeah, it's a little weird. Let's skip over the Otis segment and talk about Kryle's parents.
Yeah.
This is the interesting part.
Yeah, Kryle's parents.
So I thought... So we meet Kryle's, you know, parents who were... and we meet them throughout a museum right underneath the theater, and we learn
in
about
the
truth. Yeah, we learn about the truth of what happened in the Golden City at this point. So, Kryle, I don't know if you understood correctly, but I'm going to share my understanding of this, and you can ask me questions or correct me if you think I'm wrong. So, originally, Kryle's parents are from the Source. They are from the South Sea Isles that were fucked up by the fifth calamity, which was ages ago. So they are super old.
Okay.
Kryle's parents are actually hundreds of years old, quote unquote. They were handed this technology, this goblet, by a traveler or something. Hint, hint, wink, wink. To be able to avoid
the calamity. We'll talk about it at the end, at the very end.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
To avoid this calamity, they were able to travel between worlds and make a new civilization on this other planet that was, of course, doomed to its own calamity.
Uh-huh.
But we don't get full answers to that. But then they had this artifact, and they were able to reopen it once they had their daughter, and that world was on the brink of its own collapse because of the actions of preservation.
The society that rigged up the whole system.
There's some Asian underworkings here, probably. And that's where Kryle came from, right? That's why her soul's not thinner. She is from the Source.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness.
That makes sense.
Yeah, because that would have been really a terrible plot hole. But it's also, it is weird. Anyway, they're really, really sweet.
They're very sweet. They're very nice people.
It's a really nice moment.
I think this is cool. I also feel like it feels like it's kind of crammed in here at the end.
I wish it were more the main focus of the game.
Drop the lizard kid and like swap in some of the time we spent with him for like Kryle's parents.
Yeah,
like,
that would have been really nice. That would have been nice. Oh, well. Yeah, we could have gotten them. I thought when Kryle, like I was panicking because I kind of had it in my head that maybe Kryle was an endless offspring. That she was like a soul or something. And then when she ate the ice cream with her parents and she was like, no, it's delicious. I was like, I was right. Oh, wait, it's a metaphor.
Yeah.
she doesn't actually taste the food.
She's telling them that she does. Yeah. The one thing I will say is when they first said that, like, they fled from a place that suffered a calamity of water, I was like, oh, that's from the water reflection. And it's like, no, they're from the source.
They're from the source. Yeah. There was just a mysterious calamity of water that we know nothing about that took out the entirety of the Southern Islands. And there's no records of it anywhere or anything. So good job, Astians. You really cleaned up after yourselves that time.
Yeah. Anyway, Kral's parents, very sweet, lovely people. Also at the end are like, please let us die.
Please kill us. This sucks. This is hollow. It was nice meeting you, though. Oh, and we learn her real name is Maya.
Yes.
Her given name, her birth. So birth, Kral, Maya Baldessian. Great. And at the end, we take a nice tour of the gardens with Kahihwa, who... she and Aaronville have a nice final reckoning moment where he's like, I'm actually really pissed at you about all this.
Yeah, he gets to kind of work through his abandonment issues. He gets to be a little genuinely upset.
Yeah, about it. Yeah, and I like those moments.
And she's just like, everything dies, including me. I've suffered my unnatural existence only so I can unmake this twisted mausoleum. Everything she says is great.
That goes hard. That goes hard, yeah. So we say goodbye to her. We say goodbye to my mother. Which is part of why I was a little sad when you had said she's I was like, yeah, great, cool.
Well, look, we turn off the terminal and this is the last area to shut down, and then we go back to the final terminal, the big one in the middle.
But we queue up for a dungeon to stop her, basically,
because we got to send our brains into the computer.
Why not?
Got to jack in and power up.
I'm kind of checked out at this point. The logistics of this dungeon don't really matter to me. Novelty does, though.
Yeah, no, because like the Golden City is already a simulation.
I'm over it. I don't care. I don't care about the logistics. I'm just
okay.
They're ridiculous.
Credit for
Alexandria. This dungeon
was sick.
It's so cool to see a living, kind of breathing representation of the city of Alexandria again. Like, even like more so. Like, this living memory is kind of a facsimile or a theme park, but like this was hinted at with the ruins that were outside in Heritage Found, and then they delivered it, and it was sick. Absolutely stunning. Saw it through times, and of course the dungeon battles and everything were great. Fan fucking tastic. The final battle, I think, mechanically, so we fight Sphene
as a big,
and we finally are
angel.
All our scions get shunted away, and we actually can't do the trial with everyone this time. We have to use do we use our soul crystal or do we use the goblet to summon?
No.
We use our
soul
crystal.
She uses the goblet and then our crystal starts glowing in response. Like,
yeah,
we pull it out.
But
that's
then
the
like
thing
the goblet also has the symbol. Like,
yeah,
it starts glowing the symbol of the sun, and we're like, God damn it.
It's like
God damn it, he's back.
It's like they're glowing in response to each other.
Yeah, like, so somebody's got their fingers in this whole mess, and we still have to figure out. We're probably going to learn a lot more about that in future expansions. But that's really interesting stuff. Some questions left unresolved. The fight's great. I liked the little X platform too. Mm-hmm. The Sphene becomes this like refractor lady, and the environment's really cool.
All the mechanics, the weird like cyber siphon she does on the ground.
Yeah,
like,
super sick. Oh yeah, and like the waveforms and stuff on the ground. And that's super cool.
And then halfway through,
the ending
breaks through the sky with
breaks
her
through
axe.
The nothing or the programming. What she had? This felt a little unearned on her behalf.
So
and you know what she does? She tries to talk to her. It's so sweet. It's not sweet.
No, it's not.
It's like, come on. At this point,
enough.
Enough is enough. Like, she should be mad. She should be pissed off.
Uh-huh.
In my opinion.
Yeah, okay. So you want to hear a funny story?
What?
So when I did this earlier today.
Yeah.
All of us except our two tanks died right before this happened, basically.
Oh, and then they just did it together.
Yeah, and then the two tanks and Wuklamat
just
finished
to
the fight off for us.
That happened to me and Zeralja, I believe. the two tanks.
The
balance sucks. Sorry. Tanks are invulnerable.
Yeah, well, because then in the chat, like, both people were like, this is why we're going on healer strike. And I was like, what's the healer strike? What
oh yeah, there's the healer about? Strike on the community is where it's just like, we don't feel necessary, we don't have to heal. Like, we don't want to, we don't get to do our thing that we want to do. So people are just, I don't know, but like, you can literally run any dungeon without a healer because the tanks are too,
yeah,
they're too strong. Anyway, the
Sphene
point
gives
is
a whole speech. I don't care about it.
Sorry to this lady. Also, I'm really glad they didn't go with Garnet and Steiner for Otis and Sphene. They did like a little reflection version of it, because Garnet would fucking never. Never in a million fucking years. Garnet slaps. Garnet's my girl. She would not. I mean, maybe this is a corrupted version program of Sphene, the real one, who would never. I don't know. But like, I'm glad they did not tarnish Garnet's name. They did sort of. Yeah, I don't know. That's how I feel about it. We'll talk more about how other people feel about it in our Charlene Forum segment. That's gonna be really fun. But we got to talk about this last ending sequence.
We do. And then I've got a few big thoughts I want to go over.
Yes. And then we'll talk structurally and opinionated whatever stuff.
In the credits, the people of Solution 9 is like, again, it's like 12 people. I'm like, okay, like they really can't fill the crowd out. But it turns out Everkeep systems are just going to stay operational with no impact on their lives. And it was like, well, Hugh, I would hate if anything had to change.
Well, it was living memory that was killing everyone, yeah, not uh-huh. Everkeep. And they're like, well, we have this horrible like techno-colonial imprint here. We're not just going to like undo all of that. We have to accept this.
Anyway, credits end. At the end in Solution 9, everyone is sad until the PC Arcadia tower building.
Yeah, that's for the raid series.
Oh, it's for the raid series.
Yeah, they just activated the raid series.
I was like, what is that? Okay.
You can do that if you want. I won't be because I don't know if this is. Well, let's talk. Where does this patch fall in our tier list, real quick? 7.0. I mean, it's a big thing, you know. Compare Heavensward was an A,
Heavensward
and the other expansions were all S.
This is not an S.
It's not an S. Is this an A, or is it a B, or a C?
I think if I'm comparing it to Heavensward, it probably still earns the A tier.
Okay.
There's enough in here that I think works for me, or that they could expand on in the patch content.
Well, those are different. Patch contents are different.
Sure,
patches.
sure. But like
7.0.
I think this sets some interesting groundwork. But
yeah, I think Heavensward and Stormblood did have similar pacing issues at times, so I don't want to go glaze them too hard. But not quite to the extent of Dawn Trail, in my opinion. And I think Heavensward and Stormblood had better classes and better gameplay. I don't like the end.
Yeah, no,
gameplay.
You know, actually the gameplay is kind of killer.
Like,
actually,
the dungeons themselves are really, really good, and the zones themselves are really, really good, but they were really, really, really good in Stormblood and Heavensward as well. Like, just like the rework, though. The visual rework is nice. So that's worth considering, but how important is that?
If I'm just talking the story, there's enough stuff that I kind of want to like in here that like I push it to the A tier, but if I include the fact that like that it's so kind of mechanically dry, maybe it is a B, actually.
Yeah, I think I'm on B side, to be honest with you. Okay, let's get into our predictions list.
Well, can I talk about a couple of
points? Yeah, I'm so sorry.
Sorry, you're fine.
No, you go ahead.
The back half of this expansion is really where it kind of falls apart for me, and I think it really, like, everything with the Alexandrians feels simultaneously, like, overstuffed and also way too stretched out. It's like they keep sort of, like, well, so here, because here's the thing. The Alexandrians have too many things going on. Like, in terms of just sort of like story conceit type stuff, in decreasing order of significance to the story, like, so like from most to least, they've got the thing where all their memories get stored in the cloud when they die. Very important. We spend a whole zone there. We have this whole soul economy thing where people who live there have regulators that then like dictate like how alive they get to be, and people like compete to get souls and stuff like that. That doesn't really go anywhere.
That's, I think, expanded upon in the Arcadian.
Okay. Because we have like memory, we have the memory wiping aspect.
Like the Arcadian's like a competition.
Okay.
It's like a fighting ring, I think. It's probably gonna, I don't, yeah. That's where I would imagine.
Because we also have the whole memory wiping thing, which doesn't really come up other than, like, what a weird fucked up thing they do here. But
for,
like,
yeah, it comes up once for Namika. Mm-hmm. You're right.
And then also there's the mysterious illness that some people have that, again, like, doesn't...
That's probably tempering, but, you know.
Exactly. It's just, like, there's four different sort of, like, any one of those could be, like,
it's just sci-fi groundwork. Conceit. And mm-hmm. There's a lot of mysteries here. The preservation as well is something that just briefly comes up and is probably going to be the new organization that we're working against in the shadows. Across various reflections. Maybe it's another Ascian machination. We don't know, because not a single Ascian shows up in this expansion, which is interesting. A nice change of pace. Sucks for one of my predictions. I think so. Is there anything else you wanted to talk?
The other thing also is just like, the other problem I think this runs into when it hits the back half of this, and this picks up a bit towards the end, but it's really a problem in like section four, especially, is that it's like, as soon as we hit the dome, our characters kind of stop making decisions or pursuing courses of action for like 30 quests. And it's just
weird.
Such a long period of us basically just kind of being shown around and talked at.
Yeah.
And it goes on for so long and it feels like it deflates all the momentum.
Because it's such a compelling idea that, you know, this... it's the Crystal Tower, but it's happening to us, and also it's bigger.
Yes.
Like, how lucky are the people on the first that the Crystal Tower was actually a way to save their world, but not just some invading force?
That too. Yeah, it's just like, it's just, I don't know, airless is how the back half of this of Dawn Trail feels. Like, just sort of like...
Which is, yeah, like, it's a shame.
Momentum problems, pacing problems, characters don't feel like they're doing very much. Like, it just, I don't know, it's very weird.
I think I completely, I don't have any notes on your notes as well. Should we talk about our predictions?
Yes, our predictions.
Okay, let me tally up my points here, I think. So number one, my prediction, Solution 9 is from A Reflection. Good thing I didn't specify, because they didn't specify. They just said it's from like the Unsundered World or the Unlost World or something like that.
I thought this which
is
a reflection.
It is a reflection.
Yeah, okay.
But we think it's the 12th, because that's the one that was shrouded in lightning a while ago.
I would assume so.
But the problem is that lightning calamity happened before the water calamity. So it's like there's a little weirdness to it. But it's like an
time is strange.
Yeah, time is strange. True, time is strange in this game. The mysterious blue-haired girl is Aiko. Nope. Krylo will win in a 1v1, only off-screen. She 1v1s like one monster on the path in the first zone. And I was like, no, I wanted to see that. Maybe she's in the Arcadian. Who knows? Wuklamot and Uriange are going to get flirty. Did not happen. Uriange was barely there. Wuklamot dies.
Didn't happen.
Did not happen. Erinnville also has royal blood. Nope. There's a blood relative, but not royal. Pasharat will make an appearance. Not a single Ascian. So that's not good. Kona will be the Dawn Servant. Half point.
Half point.
Half point. Tribe of male Vieras on Tural, and some of them will be gay. Nope. They got zapped. All the Vieras got zapped. There will be an energy barrier around the City of Gold that we will need a MacGuffin to pierce. Two and a half points.
I'm going to call that. Okay, that's good. I've got at least one new class is overpowered at launch. Doesn't seem to be the case.
Not really, no. Pictomancer is the strongest, but only by a margin of about 1,000. Like, there's like a way they measure damage over 2 minutes, and like Pictomancer does like, there's some, they are edging above everyone else in terms of total raid DPS, so they have like a mandatory spot in any prog groups probably, but not so much that anything is trivialized at all. And neither in PvP. I've been playing PvP. Viper is hella weak, unfortunately.
Really?
Not like busted bad weak, but like outside of the limit break, they're not really useful, and even then, like, they can just be crowd controlled pretty easy. Pictomancer is really useful and really good and mobile, I think. But it's in a good spot. It doesn't have quite the nuking power or any sort of like solo kill potential that some of the other classes do. I think that one's in a really cool spot. I think they're gonna touch PvP in 7.1 again anyway, but yeah. Nope, not in there either.
Yep, next prediction. Procopius, the Valens impersonator, similar to the character, did not show up.
Damn, dude. Turns out that incarcerated / dead dude did not show up.
A major cast member dies for real. Did not happen.
Damn, sadly. No.
I mean, like, new ones did, but like none of our friends, which is
who
like
the hell died? Oh yeah, the chancellor.
Yeah, like the king, whatever. Like Gulul Jaja.
Yeah, sure.
But like I meant one.
No, yeah, gone. No, I would have fought. Killed you.
Somehow Emmett Selk returns. I'm not
even close.
The flashback VO at the very beginning.
What flashback?
This very first question.
That didn't happen.
That actually might be like the last.
No, there was not a single line. There was not a single line from Emmett Selk, I don't think. Maybe I'm wrong. Correct me in the Discord.
There's at least one bit of accidental racism around one of the gear sets that people are uncomfortable about.
Not yet.
Nope, not that I've seen.
It's been the first month. They did okay. We'll see.
We temporarily become the new Dawn Servant. Does not happen.
They were thinking about it.
It was close.
they were like, Wuklamot's like, I've got an idea. And we're like, could you please clue us in on it? Like, if it involves us, no. Okay, they were thinking about it.
Thanker gets to fire one of the cyberpunk rifles and he really likes it. Does
Sad.
Not happen. Okay, here's what I'm not sure about, actually.
Okay.
The ultimate threat does not risk devastation to the entire planet.
Oh,
it's not.
No. I have a quote here because I knew you'd try to fight me on this.
Okay.
It says, Alfino, what's more, Zaralja and his army pose a threat not only to Tural, but to the star as a whole.
Okay.
I screenshotted
okay.
it right here because well, I knew you would fight me on
okay,
this.
Okay. Alice becomes a staunch anti-monarchist who puts her...
Unfortunately, no.
No, exact opposite direction. Alice letting me down. Okay, here's the one point I get.
Yes, you do.
The City of Gold is a super weapon or otherwise giant mechanism of some sort. It sure is one of those.
I'll count that, because it's like, it's a giant mechanism.
It's a big computer.
It's a big computer, and it's going to destroy our planet, basically. You're so super right. It will not.
1 point to 2.5. We did great.
I get to pick January's game. Yes. No Pentiment. I dodged it this time.
I was thinking of making January just all missed month. We just play 4 missed games in a row.
I would have loved that. Damn it. I should have lost.
I'm working on the Riven remake right now. It's interesting.
Okay. Cool. Well, that has nothing to do with what we're about to do next. It's going to be our, what the hell is it called? We're going back to Old Charlotte. We're going to the Charlotte Forum. We don't have time for it. We're not sponsored.
No, okay.
Next time.
Okay, I can keep cooking on one then.
Cool, yeah, sick.
Charlotte Forum.
Yeah, we're just going to go straight to our Charlotte Forum.
Wah-bam! Wah-bam!
There's a sting right here for that. I don't know what it is yet, because I haven't made it.
It's Dungeon Recap Goblin carrying the mailbag in?
It's me!
The Charlotte Forum!
I'm the mail goblin now. Hey! Oh, he's back. You're the mail goblin? Got it.
What do we got in the satchel?
We've got a couple of really, really fantastic, well-thought-out opinions in our Stormbuds Discord in the spoiler chat room. I'm just going to read them in order, and we're super, super grateful to each and one of our listeners. But this first one is from user Dusk. They said, I really like the focus on the culture in the first half and legacy in the back half and how those kinds of ideas inform each other and tie the whole expansion together. Picking up on what others have left behind and examining and that. Though I wish there were more space and more ambiguity or depth for some of the ideas they present. It feels like they move on from stuff a little too fast or spell things out a little bit too clearly sometimes. The voice direction for both the English studios is very weirdly varying in quality. Don't know what happened there, because the voice acting had some really good moments, but for some of them, I feel like they just kind of went, yeah, that's fine, and moved on. I don't know. And let's see. They also said, with that, I'm about as cautiously optimistic for the patch MSQ as I was for the base expansion story. They've opened up a lot, but there are still things that I hope they address more in the fallout of everything that's happened inside, instead of immediately going for new hooks. Overall, pretty solid expansion. There's some really good stuff here and some equal amount of stuff that's just fine, but could have had just more to chew on.
Yeah, 100% agreed. I mean, yeah. Especially like I said, I mean, we heard in the previous episodes, I really liked a lot of the cultural stuff in the first half as well. And I think the problem is that it feels like the folks who live in Solution 9 don't really get nearly as much of that in the back half.
Yeah.
But that's what kind of gets me excited for the patch content as well, is because I feel like either just exploring what life is like in Solution 9 more, or exploring more what the integration process is going to have to be now between them and the and all the other folks in in Tulial, like those are interesting areas for the story to develop.
Yeah, it was cool to read that as you were talking, as the episodes are going along, because they submitted that one really early. Thank you so much, Dusk. The next Charlotte Forum post is from user Walrus Dog. Hell yes. The first half was pretty good, they said. I liked them building up Wook's character and getting them to learn new people. The second half was fine. Sveen ended up being pretty cool, but Zeral Jaw's whole deal didn't really land for me. I did like the final area that everyone was mad we turned off, because IMO, we weren't even meant to see that in the first place. They wanted us to come back and see what a totally dead world would look like. Wuklamot flying in during the last trial was kind of really goofy, and I don't know how to totally feel about it.
Yeah.
They also said, I like them flipping over cool Jaja to being good. Didn't expect them to make me like him. So he's kind of on your team with Bug Cool Jaja being good. And similarly, they were annoyed at Wook at first, and then got them liking her, and then annoyed again by the end. She traded her interesting learning about others plot for, I have one thing I do.
Yeah.
Kind of hope she gets to do more.
Yes.
That's a great point, Walrus Dog. On the whole, I liked it. Solid 7 out of 10. Not the worst thing they've done for sure. I'm wondering what that is for you. And I'm willing to wait to see what they do, since it's establishing a new story and everything. Fair enough. It is it's definitely a groundwork expansion. It's just setting the threads up, and hopefully the dominoes fall in a satisfying way later.
I mean, the point about Sveen and Zeral Jaa is really good, especially because, like, thinking about it now, yeah, like, neither of them are really good villains. I think they're both, like, a little bit above the Pope. I think he's still, like, the weakest villain they've ever done for me.
Oh, yeah.
But,
yeah.
Like, but the two of them, only one of them needed to be, like, a really good, compelling villain, but when neither of them is, it's sort of like these two kind of, like, lackluster kind of confrontations one after another.
It was supposed to be kind of a mirror of the head of resolve and reason. And like a negative way where like this is a different two sides of the same coin. They really tried to get the two sides of the same coin thing. However, Ghulul Jaa Jaa was just like more personable and interesting in every single way. I don't know.
Well, and like and Sveen, they keep trying to like bridge this thing with her where it's like, okay, she's kind of fanatical and going to kill a bunch of people, but also she feels bad about it and has complicated feelings, and it's like it doesn't come off as like nuanced or conflicted. It comes off like they're kind of pulling their punches and refusing to actually like push her character to the sorts of places that she logically should end up.
100% agree. And now for another opinion here, another post from Senior Bud Zaff. He says, I would say I loved this MSQ overall. I know Wuklamot didn't land for everyone, but she absolutely did for me. I enjoyed getting to support her hero's journey and uncovering the secrets of Tyrael beside her. There are obviously some parts that went slower than others, but on the whole, I was into it. And then in true Senior Bud Zaff fashion, it's got bullet points. Favorites. Wuklamot. Kozamaoka, Yachtel, and Shaloani. The art direction, music, and general vibes in these zones were enchanting. The whole middle portion of the story, where we start getting some of the big twists and action scenes, seeing Vritra showing up, defend Tuliol was awesome. The dungeons. Overall, my favorite group of dungeons ever, especially Skydeep, Cenote, Vanguard, and Strabro Deadwalk.
The dungeons are very good.
Which one's Strabro Deadwalk?
Is it the first one?
Is it? No, that's the river.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I think that's the level 70 expert one.
Oh, okay.
I haven't done that. Just mentioning music one more time because I think some of the best we've ever gotten.
Highs and lows. I think it's an expansion of highs and lows.
I think some of it's really good. I don't know. I'm not particularly attached to any of these zones, so it's harder for me to get into some of the music when the context isn't there for me. The graphics overhaul is also great. Dislikes. Now, that's a spicy one. Living memory. For some reason, this zone just didn't land for me, and I was impatient almost the entire time we were there.
No, same. Honestly, same.
I'd be curious to revisit it in the future and see if my thoughts change, because it could have partially been due to fatigue from binging the whole MSQ over a couple of days. So maybe it's just that. Zeral Jaa and Sveen as villains were also on the weaker side for me. I just didn't connect with them that well, and I struggled to understand their motivations at times. I'm open to convincing on this one as well, though. You will not be convinced by us. And Erenville.
Really?
Spicy dislike.
Whoa,
I'm so sorry,
great.
But I just don't get what the big deal is about him. I cared way more about Kryle's story arc than his, although the pacing with both of them was weird to me.
Agree on the weird pacing. I don't know. Erenville's just like...
I thought Erenville was the only like reasonable person in a group of completely emotionless psychopaths.
Yes. He's frequently sensible at a time when we need someone sensible. Well... Yes, I don't know. I like Erenville. On the Wuklamot thing also, I will say, I like her as a person. I like hanging out with her. I like going on adventures with her. I remain unconvinced that she should be in charge of anything, let alone a country.
Well, good thing she's not alone in that duty. But hey, I mean, who else is in charge of countries that maybe shouldn't be in this expansion, in this game? No.
Did I cut off your Erenville thoughts?
No, I didn't have any more. I mean, yeah, I really like Erenville, but I see where he's coming from, particularly.
Breaking news!
I'm sorry, I talked over that. That was good. Hot off the presses, we have another post in the Charlene Forum. As we're speaking, thank you so much to Strakeln for submitting this wonderful summary of their thoughts. Bullet point one, I love the entire first part. Discovering all the... Oh, there's a second
first
page.
Part,
oh my
Defenders
God, there's so
unite.
Many links. Oh no. Okay, let me try this again.
Whoa, that's a lot.
Oh my
you're
God.
You're
oh my God,
scrolling.
No. Whoa. Thank you so much. I love the entire, I can't read all of this. It's go to our Discord and read this yourself. I'm going to try and summarize these amazing bullet points. Thank you so much. I love the entire first part. Discovering all the different cultures of the new continent felt great. Maybe sometimes a little too much tell than show. I agree.
Yeah.
But still really good introduction to them. I really like Wuklamot. Wish we kind of got more time with other NPCs like Kryle as well. Same. Not less time with Wuklamot, just more with the others. Well, yeah, maybe more like combat and stuff with the others too or something, you know. Yay, finally Texas and road trip with Aaronville. Honestly, I wish that was more of the expansion.
Yeah.
Not less. I wish that was like the whole crux of it was just like, you want to go to visit my homeland? And then we discovered there's this whole freaking thing.
I don't want to say this should have been like two expansions, but like there's a lot of stuff in here and some of it doesn't really get a time to shine.
I would have liked, yeah, I really would have liked, I mean, and they say, as Strakellen also says, I liked ARRs for the same reason way back when I started playing. Even though the narrative pacing wasn't always good, the geographic pacing, if that makes sense, felt good. Like if we just had more time and space to explore this continent without the whole burden of this contest, that would have been kind of more interesting to me. And then we had like maybe smaller microcosm stories to get into what we're doing, and then like surprise, then there's this whole greater narrative that ties everything together.
Okay, can I connect this back actually really quick?
Yeah.
I think this almost actually ties into why I think probably suspect Zaf and I both felt kind of exhausted with the final zone.
Yeah.
That felt like, it felt like the structure that they're forced into where they have zones of specific sizes that have to roll out at certain kind of story beats meant that like that final section felt like too much zone for how much story they had to go over there. And conversely, other bits earlier on felt like they were kind of like, they didn't have enough room to breathe. They had like only a couple of small zones.
Well,
like,
let me just stop you there because okay. There's a couple of bullet points that say a very similar thing. I was super interested in the Alexandria world building around souls and the way their society works. Speaking of this, there's a really important piece of lore for which the English localization completely dropped the ball is how the soul consumption works. Apparently there's a post on Reddit that I'm not going to read right now, but we highly recommend reading it since the English version sucks and has been the source of many debates that could not have happened with a better description. Interesting. Cool. But they say they also disliked living memory. The basic idea is interesting, but I didn't feel like the writers actually knew which message they wanted to convey, and it ended up all over the place in terms of in-game ethics and out-of-game because it feels like that. I tried writing about this elsewhere, but in the end, one of the people in the above thread put it better than I could. There's then the link to some comments. The writers felt struggled with some of the longer and more irregular, something more longer and regular. Raids and trials are more tightly constrained, which I feel helped them, but these writers in particular did a great job for Pandemonium and Verlet before, but they didn't quite land the whole of the longer narrative. The zones as well look amazing and detailed in their opinion.
I kind of in line with that, a thought I was having as I was finishing up this morning was like, okay, they've come off of Endwalker, right? If there ever was an expansion to kind of like break up the story structure a
it
little
was
bit.
This one.
And, yeah, exactly.
It was this one.
And instead and it feels like
it.
In
it didn't
training.
Feel like a new adventure. It felt a little bit rehashed and retreading, right? Like retreading old ground in a new continent.
Yeah. In the like they chained themselves to the way that they rolled these things out so tightly that like the fact that the story wasn't served by that, I think it's thrown into a higher contrast.
Yeah, that's really unfortunate. You guys can all check on these the more finer points of these details in our spoiler chat in our Discord, link in the description. You guys know where that is. I got to make sure that's still active, but I'm pretty sure you guys know where it is. We are going to move on now from Final Fantasy XIV Dawn Trail. We're done with it. Will we be coming back to it? I probably won't because I... did I talk about my payment experience on this podcast?
I don't
at
think
the start?
So. No, yeah.
Oh, well, I was victim to the Visa bug on my thing, and I had to use a different time code to pay it, and the Square Enix store is a pain in the ass. And like, there's some session stuff I have to do that's really a nightmare. And then I was just like, you know what? That's it. Like, this game does not merit this level of bullshittery that I have to put up with from the Square Enix store. To continue playing it, so I will not.
Okay. Wow. All right.
Yeah, it's time for me to move on and come back at a much later date, probably. But it's like. Well,
but you're kind of done with the dailies. You're done with the.
I've been done with it. I've been done with that for a long time. But yeah, I will probably not be revisiting Eorzea for quite some time personally. You are welcome to do so yourself and report your findings here. This is a space for everyone else. But yeah, this is not my time to play this game. I have a lot of other things I'd rather be doing personally.
Is this my chance to get you into Dota?
Noda.
Okay.
No. That was a great, terrible joke I did. Instead, this is our chance to talk about what we're going to be doing for August.
You came up with this theme.
I did.
You got to pitch it.
I do have to pitch this. It's... I do a lot of yelling on this show and in life, and I just need to relax some more. This vacation was really ended up being really stressful for me because I just did not enjoy my time in Dawn Trail. So I'm trying again, but I'm going to do more of a staycation. In fact, I'm just going to plug my headphones in, and I'm just going to listen to some. You don't remember that ASMR shortbread girl?
Yeah.
We're just going to do a whole month of that, baby. It's ASMR August. That's right.
It sure
August
is.
MR. That's a capital S in August. Capital A. Quiet games for relaxation for August. It's going to be fantastic.
So I want to be clear here. We filled out this list by looking up video games that had words really? Related to quietness
yes,
in their name.
They're very quiet games. So we have 4 weeks in August. And first couple of candidates here. Quiet on Set. This, I think, is a pretty cheap, funny game that you recommended, right?
Did I?
I think you did, because I didn't know what this game was. Unless I Googled it. Quiet on Set. Video game. Not the dark side of... Not that. Not the dark side of Kids See TV. No. No, no, no. The video game. It's a movie production turned sinister with a sudden murder. That's relaxing.
Oh, wait. I hadn't looked this up, but this looks fucking sick.
Dude, Quiet on Set's going to rule, and it's going to be super relaxing. Another quiet game? Silent Hill.
1, 2, or 3?
Probably 2, if I had to pick. But 1 and 3 are also great. Then there's The Whispered World, or Whisper World 2, which I think is an adventure game that seems nice.
Yeah, they're point and clicks from Daedalic, I think.
Yeah, that sounds great. You do still have to project.
Okay.
We're doing a quiet bit.
Okay, I'll project.
Yes, perfect. You do still have to do that.
I'll engage my diaphragm.
Really? Engage? I'm not whispering. I'm just being quiet. You're going to have a whole damn month of this. Get ready, fuckers.
We cannot record every episode like this. Are you nuts?
At least the beginning.
Okay, the opening segments.
Okay, and now here's a good one. Spy Party.
Spy Party.
Shh.
I love Spy Party.
Spy Party rules.
You and I have had so much fun playing Spy Party together.
We might do another one of those. What's Invisible Ink?
Invisible Ink is I was telling you about this. It's an incredible... It's like... a roguelike stealth tactics game about being cyberpunk.
That's right.
You break into megacorps.
It's a word soup kind of game.
But
you do have
rules.
To be stealthy. Okay. Okay, we'll put that on the list. We have Eco here. Can we please not?
Okay. We won't play Eco.
Eco rules, but come on.
Okay.
I just don't want to deal with that right now.
Are we talking about Drew?
We do have Nancy Drew. What I originally had planned was to put in Nancy Drew the Silent Spy, but we're going to put that in for the third week for sure, okay? But rather than the Silent Spy, the Steam Summer Sale happened. And I got a whole collection of Nancy Drew games of like 5 of them. And we're going to put it to a Discord poll to
which
see
one we
which Nancy Drew game you guys want us to play on the 18th of August. So that poll will be up the day this episode comes out and will be closed by the time we record the episode for the 11th. So it'll be up for about a week and a half.
Yep.
Okay.
I love the Nancy Drew games. They're so stupid, but I love them so much.
They're fantastic. So the Silent Spy was the inspiration. But honestly, Nancy Drew, she's got to be quick and quiet.
Yeah, she's got to she's always lurking around, hiding behind armoires and things.
And this, okay. Now this is really the inspiration for all of this. Okay, let me be fully transparent. I thought of the game that I wanted to play, and then I thought of the theme that could possibly fit around it, because there's no other game that this game group is grouped up with. It's my favorite video game of all time, Secret of Evermore.
Secret of Evermore. Is that our big game for the month?
I hope so. Yeah. I would love to, because I would love to play that all the way through and continue talking about it as the month goes on.
How long does it take to beat?
Not too. Do you remember when we
did Secret of Mana together.
We did Secret of Mana together on my Super Nintendo, a little mini Super Nintendo, and that was a blast. And I was like, let's do that again for this. There's no co-op. Anyway, it's about that long. So
okay, that's not bad at all. Okay, let's do that for the fourth week.
Absolutely. Okay, so now we just have to pick the games for the first two. So Secret of Evermore, the entire reason we're doing a ridiculous ASMR August relaxing month, because it had the word secret in it. And I was like, shh. That's funny, right? I think so. Then we got the Nancy Drew poll. Oh, fantastic. Did you like those relaxing typing noises?
Yes.
On my brown switches? I think these are brown switches.
It's very soft and intimate.
That's not how I would have described them, but okay.
I like the look of Quiet On Set a lot.
Okay, Quiet On Set. Do you want to do that on the 4th or the 11th?
You know, let's do Quiet On Set on the 4th.
Okay, Quiet On Set will be our next episode. And so our remaining options, Silent Hill, probably 2, The Whispered World and The Whispered World 2, or one or the other, or Spy Party, or Invisible Ink.
What is your preference?
Of those, I've already bought The Whispered World and 2.
I was going to say Whispered World or Invisible Ink.
Let's do Whispered World. I think that fits the theme the most.
Okay. But I want us to do Invisible Ink within the next few months. Like, I think we should find somewhere that fits.
Okay. Let's see.
Don't need to figure it out now.
We don't have to figure it out now. Okay. Well, get ready for ASMR August. You can put on an episode of Stormbuds to help you go to sleep. There will be nothing untoward as we cover the games Quiet On Set with The Whispered World, whichever Nancy Drew game we pick, and Secret of Evermore. What a motley crew of games.
That sounds great. No,
that all have a very clear through line.
I love how utterly nonsensical this is.
Well, I'm really excited.
There's some fun stuff in here.
I have played through Secret of Evermore about 14 times, and I can't wait to play through it a 50.
I am glad that we are kind of hitting a format of like three games that are fairly quick to beat and one big one for the month. That feels like a good sort of like structure too.
I like it too. I don't know if Secret of Evermore is actually big, but it's definitely bigger than anything else. Fucking September is going to slap, by the way.
Ugh, we got so many good options
for
September.
Oh, you guys wait for September. It is not quiet. Okay.
Yes.
ASMR segment over. That's going to do it for this episode of Stormbuds. Thank you all so much for joining us on our journey into Final Fantasy 14. Let me think here. We, of course, would humbly ask that anyone listening to this show please support us without spending a single penny by rating, reviewing, and joining the conversation in our Discord, all sorts of stuff. We love to interact with you guys, and we love to see what you guys think about what we're doing, even if what we're doing is not perfect. It helps us grow in a lot of ways. So thank you all so much for having done so and continuing to do so in the future. I don't think we have any upcoming events or any live streams planned. So I think we could just call it here. This has been our full discussion, spoiler discussion of Final Fantasy XIV Dawn Trail. We're excited to talk about Quiet On Set next week as part of ASMR August. And... Until then, I've been your host of Light, Jerome Barbatsis, and I've been joined by my co-host of Light, Alexander Hambrock. Say goodbye to the buds.
Good evening.
Sleep tight.
It was like vampiric at the end. What was that?
There's a Turkish barber who sometimes whose videos I watch for relaxation, and he always leans into his like wrist microphones and he goes, "Sleep tight." And it's like the loudest thing ever, and I was like, "Oh, stop!"
Is he giving people haircuts while he's
like giving them haircuts and head massages, and it's like the sounds are relaxing.
Oh, but he's recording while he
And he's recording while he does that. He gets to double dip. He gets paid for being a barber and a content creator.
Man, what a racket!